Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Girl Dad Girls. I'm your host, Bree St. Marie. We have with us that cutesy Danny B. We have Michaela Bill, and we have Allie Grace. Welcome to the show.
Hi, y'all. Thank you for having everyone. Me.
Of course. So good to have you here. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Well, so tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a Midwest transfer. I'm from Chicago. I have been living in Las Vegas for the past 7-8 months. I am an adult film star, a proud trans female, drag entertainer, and comedian. So I kind of have a lot of different hats that I like to wear. Not all of them are the cutest hats, but they are still hats I own.
How do you like?
And when you say adult worker, do you only work exclusively with adults?
In that regard, yes, I do. I mean, in my life, fun fact about me, I went to school for musical theater, so I really thought I was going to be on Broadway. But my talents were not to that level. But I went on a national tour when I was on the age of 19, and it was VeggieTales Live. So I worked exclusively with children for 6.5 months while we toured the United States, but mostly the South. It was a really, really crazy experience. I've done a lot of drag story times before when I lived in Chicago. I have had a lot of experience working with children because mentally I'm just a big kid. So I get along well with kids, and it's so weird that I've ended up in the work that I'm in now, because I don't want anyone to ever think that I would want the two worlds to meet, because I do not in any way, shape, or form. And I feel like at this point in my career, I am stepping away from doing children's media to doing full adult media, because I'm a full adult now. So
yeah. Or we pretend.
Exactly. Or we pretend to be. We try. My God, we're trying.
Yeah. Toys are us kids at heart. Right.
Exactly.
What's it like living in Vegas? I've only ever been just for a weekend, but.
You know, it's so much fun. Living in Chicago was cold.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I got over it really, really quickly at the tail end of my journey there, because I'd gotten out of a really terrible relationship that left me absolutely distraught and hating my city. So I was like, I need a fresh start. I need to get out of here. I need to go see someplace else. And I was really lucky to get to move with my best friend from Chicago, who he was at his wit's end with the city too. And we were like, my God, what do we do? Do we go to California? Do we go to New York? And we kind of just checked things off that neither one of us wanted to do, or one of us was opposed to. And we both figured that Vegas seemed like a really good place to go, but we had both never been here ever. So we were like, let's just do it. So I visited one time to see the apartment that we moved into, and then the rest is history. Wow. But I love it here. I moved here in the middle of summer when it was 120 degrees every single day. Every single day was awful. And I come from Chicago, so I don't drive. I'm a passenger princess. So I was walking everywhere in 120 degree heat, melting. And that was so much better than any Chicago winter I've ever had. So it's fantastic.
That's what people always say. I moved to Austin, Texas for a bit, and I'm from Virginia, and people were like, aren't you going to hate the heat? I'm like, I'd much rather have heat than cold.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's like that.
Just wear less clothes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That whole question of would you they're like, well, what about you can always put more clothes on. It's like, yeah, but you can always find a pool. You can find a nice cold drink.
Find a nice cool drink.
Who's hanging out on their patio in the winter? And it's everybody in the summer is hanging out on the patio. You like the summer better.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
So yeah. I love Vegas. I feel like it's magical every time I go. I get to go maybe once a year. So I love the lights. I love the restaurants. I love the drinks.
It's fun.
When you live there, does the magic go away?
I mean, I haven't been here long enough to feel like the magic's gone away. But I also, there's so many people who are locals who are like, we don't go to the strip. They don't go near the strip. So they because it's just tourism central. So I love being a tourist, actually. So like getting to go to the strip makes me excited still. Like there's a checklist of things that I still need to do on the strip. Like I need to ride the roller coaster at New York, New York. Like it's just like I just gotta have it. So I haven't even gotten to do that yet. So for me, the magic is still here. I'm still meeting so many cool new people, like new like adventures keep like popping up like really randomly. Like it's just awesome. Like shit happens here all the time. It's crazy.
Nice. You know, I rode that roller coaster in that 120 degree weather you were talking about, and I
Oh
felt like my face was melting. It was awful.
my gosh, it was like hot wind coming at you
Oh
hard.
yeah.
Yeah,
Oh
it
my
feels like
gosh.
leaving a blow
It's
dryer
already
sticking
hanging
out
out
in your
in the
face.
convection oven.
Callie,
Don't recommend.
you reckon or you mentioned that y'all checked off New York, or you marked off New York. Why not New York?
Well, okay, personally, I've had a terrible, terrible experience with New York City. I was in a school group. We were going to go see The Lion King. I was in freshman in high school, and I had my backpack yanked off me in Times Square, and I was like thrown down to the ground.
Oh, poor
So somebody
thing.
like not like mugged me, but and they just like robbed me, I guess. But it was like the
Yeah.
quickest thing that's ever happened in my life. And I was so confused and like annoyed afterwards because it was like my money was in my backpack. Like, granted, like they had the tickets to see the show. But to this day, I cannot stand the Lion King musical. Like, I hate it. I hate it. I was like seething. I was seething the whole time. I just hated the show. I just
Wow,
hated
you
it.
mentioned that was the quickest thing that's ever happened to you. So clearly, you've
It's so
never
quick.
hooked up with the chaser, have you?
I mean, that
Oh.
honestly feels like the longest minute of my life. Like time slows down and it feels like 2.5 hours later. Like it's like
Really?
SpongeBob when like the board comes up like 4 days later and he's still at my house. Like, get out.
4 days
Get
later.
out.
Here's the door, damn it.
Yeah. You've
So before we
overstayed
get
your
too far away
welcome.
from it, there's a very little known fact about me that I also lived in Vegas for a little while.
Ooh.
Excuse me, I'm sick right now too, so I sound like shit. I lived in Hendersuck for like 7 months.
You don't
And
like Henderson?
I was like 2 blocks away from Casa Shenandoah, Wayne Newton's place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was working at the Forum Shops at the time.
Oh,
So
nice.
it was not a great experience. It was just a lot of commuting, a lot of working, and I didn't have any money to hang, so it was not it was just like a little miserable, but it was
It's
fine. It was fine.
Las Vegas is a lot cheaper than Chicago. I was paying like $2K a month for a 2-bedroom in Chicago by
Oh my
myself.
God. Holy
And
crap.
here in Las Vegas, like I basically pay half that rent and then I get to split my rent with somebody. So it's
What?
pretty great. Like I moved
Jeez.
here without a solid plan. Like I was like, my God, people told me that like if I move here, the studio work will happen for me, like in the adult world. So I moved here with like a hope and a wish. And when I got here, like I started working with more studios, and I started like making more friends. So like the opportunities started coming to me, and I didn't think I was going to be able to hang for a while too. Like I got a day job as a server. I was working at a restaurant on Fremont Street. Like
Love it.
my commute was killing me. Like it would be $35 each way from home to work,
What?
and sometimes I didn't even make $35 on my shift.
Oh,
Lord.
Like that's like you telling your boss that you're gonna quit, like giving him 2 weeks is so nice, 'cause in Vegas people don't do that. People like quit that day and walk out, which is what I did at my job, which I feel a little bit bad, but they were doing some fuckery with me. So I didn't really feel bad at the end of the day. I was staying because I liked my coworkers and stuff, but it was preventing me from like doing shit that I actually wanted to do. Like if I can't go travel for work and stuff like that because I have to make sure that I'm there for Taco Tuesday, it's not happening. Like Like, get out of here.
Hey, Taco Tuesday is important.
I love it.
Oh, it is a very, very special day of the week for me as well. I don't work the restaurant anymore, but I frequent the restaurant all the time. Like, the Thais were they understood. They knew that I do adult work, and they were kind of just waiting for me to, like, leave, I guess. They're like, she's going to get tired and want to leave eventually, but we like her, so let her stay as long as she wants to. Aww. So now when I go in and I eat, like, it's fun to be like, I'm in a place where I can come in and I can, like, tip you guys and stuff like that. And it's a different dynamic because I'm not so pissy coming in. Yeah. Like, I like these people. I want these people to get the best side of me, and the best side of me is not cleaning a chip warmer at 11 o'clock at night. Like, it's not happening. I swear to God, it's like an out of body experience that my boss, like, asked me to do something that I thought was outlandish, and she looked at me crazy, and then I looked at her crazy, and she said, Callie, I don't really understand where this attitude is coming from. And I stared her down and I said, well, Sonia, I didn't really see this for me when I was thinking about my life in Vegas, hun. And she was like, that's very fair. And I said, so give me a second and I'll clean up the chips. But I didn't really think I was going to have to do this.
Chip warmer was not in the cards.
Like, this was not on my bingo card, lady. I'm sorry.
But it does make you, you know, those kind of jobs make you, like, appreciate, like, when you do find the good one, though, right? Like,
totally.
I mean, like, I did, when I was going through grad school, worked at a brewery, and it was like, you know, people would come in and they treat you like these young professionals would come in, and, like, I'd overhear them talking about something with computers, and I'd be like, oh yeah, so this and this and this, and like, what do you know, bartender? And I'm like, you know, kind of better at this than you are.
God, like, I wouldn't have a singular interest outside of tending bar. How very dare.
Yeah. I remember, like, telling, like, one, there was, like, a group of, like, dude bros that came in, and they were talking about, they were like, just getting into computer science, and they were talking about something, and I was like, well, it's actually this and this and this, and they're like, what do you know, how do you know? I was like, I'm getting my master's, you ding dong. But
be like, geez Louise,
come on, get out of here.
Scat.
So real quick, so how long you said you started your transition when
I'm 27? Basically, okay, how's the math on this work? Tell me if I'm wrong. So I basically started my first, like, injection of HRT the day before everything shut down with COVID. So that was
maybe like 2019, like March
2019? Yeah, exactly. Like, that was, like, essentially they were like, hey, just so everyone knows, we're going to be off for a little while. So, like, we'll let you know when that's going to happen. And we're like, cool. Okay, great. So I thought that was a really good time to be like, let me go to the house and, like, start this process, like, on my own, because unfortunately for me, I didn't have a well-received transition with my family. So I'm not close with my family currently, but things are starting to, like, change, and they're coming around. But I kind of just, like, I went through the entire beginning of my transition alone. They took it very personally, and that it was, like, something that I was doing against them to, like, make their lives harder. Yeah. Like, as, like, I don't even live in the same state as you. Like, why would I care about making your life harder? I'm from originally a smaller town in Michigan. Like, the mentality is very, like, my mom has to go to the gym and talk to the women who work out with her, and they're upset because they heard that, like, what's going on with, like, me. And it's like, why do you care? Why do you care what the women that you work out with think about me? Why are they talking about me? Smiting
them from afar.
Yeah, like.
And it's like, I mean, I guess that's the thing. I've had a bunch of family that, you know, came to me, and they were like, you know, you need to give us time to kind of grieve. And it's like, why? Like, I'm happy now. You know, would you rather grieve my death? Because, like.
Because that's what would have, like, come about this. Exactly. I stayed in my own closet for so long because of the pressures of, like, my family and everything like that. Like, I had a lot of people telling me that before I transitioned, I also worked as, like, an underwear model. So I was an attractive boy. And a lot of people were just like, well, why would you want to, like, change that? And it was like, ugh. because I hate this. I was like, it's terrible. Like, you don't want to have somebody give you a compliment and it's a compliment that still doesn't make you feel nice. Like, I don't want to be told that I'm handsome. Like, that compliment doesn't feel good to hear, because I don't feel like I am in that regard. So it was something I couldn't stand dealing with any longer. And I had to like make the decision for me. And I hoped my family would understand at first, but they didn't. And that just kind of like, I think, made me want to just be there for other people when they started this journey of their life. Chicago was a city that wasn't very like loving and accepting. When I came out as trans, I reached out to so many girls that I looked up to that were in like years into their transition. And I was just like, can I ask like some questions of what possibly I could like, what roads I could go down? And not a single person like would answer my questions. And it felt so awful to just feel like there was nobody who cared enough. So I have always tried to be there for other people when they like, because some people like, they struggle for such a long time with making the decision to come out as trans and to actually like to pursue hormone replacement therapy and go even further than that. Like, there's so many hurdles that people just like fall down because they're afraid of that next stretch of the journey. Yeah. And if I can be there to like help lighten the load for somebody, I'm going to do it. Like,
yeah,
I kind of owe that.
I did it for a month and went back in the closet for 6 years. So see? 5 or 6 years is just because I got scared. Everybody kept telling me I was going to be an ugly girl and I was a cute guy. And so I was like, okay.
And that's the worst. That's the worst thing. Like, what a terrible compliment.
Yeah.
Well, like you might be ugly, so why would you want to be a woman? And it's like ugly or not, like I at least I'd get to like live happily. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or
I said that almost,
you're so fucking handsome. Why do you want to change that? I'll tell you why.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Well, yeah. And that's like,
because I don't always be goddamn handsome.
And I know I always say, like, I say it like every episode, but I always have this theory that like everybody stays equal where they are, or they go up in terms of attractiveness when you transition. So like, you're either gonna stay where you are, like if you're handsome, you're gonna stay, you're gonna be beautiful, or you're gonna get better looking. And because you're gonna be happy and you're gonna exude that fucking energy.
Yeah, I think confidence, and then I think that's a big part of it. And then your happiness with yourself, I think that shows through also after transition. Totally.
I think, just like you were saying, like, there's, you can't help your own genetics anyway. So, like, people look a certain way, and being on hormones, like, maybe, like, amplifies your own beauty and, like, can completely change. Like, I had such a strong jaw, and I still do now, but for the years that I was on hormones, like, my face shape changed drastically. But it didn't make me feel like less beautiful or more beautiful too. Oh my God. Yeah. What was the point I was going with?
Well, just like, I was going to say, like, you know, everybody's kind of worried they're going to be ugly. And it's like, no, you won't, you will not go down. No one goes down.
I think people compare their transitions with other people's transitions well. And that's so harmful, because just because somebody naturally looks a certain way, you can't expect your transition to go a certain way or like also feel like, because I've had some girls be very aggressive with me that it's just like, well, it's not fair that you look the way that you do. And it's like, oh my God, like there are things about me that I wouldn't like to have at all. I hate my shape. Like, my body shape is so weird. I got a short torso and I got long legs. Like, I got weird proportions. I wouldn't want that for anybody. I got huge shoulders. Like, that makes me feel
preach to the choir.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, but at this point in my life, like, I'm like confident in those things that I know are not necessarily the most feminine, or like, I don't want anybody to ever, like, God forbid, I hate when people are like, you're so passable. Like, oh my God, you like that you're so lucky. And it's just like, who, I don't want to fucking pass. I don't need to pass. Like, I will walk into a room and be like, hello, I'm trans. Yeah. Hello. Like, I don't, like, I'm not trying to hide from anybody. Like, I'm not trying to blend in, but I just think that, like, I look the way that I do, but I'm also, you're right, the confidence comes through, like, fully. Like, you have to know who you are and know that what you're selling is, like, the best fucking shit on the block.
I mean, I...
I get a lot of DMs all the time. A lot of people say that they want to transition. They know they are trans, but they're scared because they don't know if they are going to be passable or if they're going to be attractive. And I tell them all the time, it's not really about how you want to look. It's about how you want to feel.
Yeah.
And I think the happiness comes out first and then everything else.
And looks can be improved upon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, you can get filler in your lips. You can get like... things can happen. Like, if you're not comfortable with like your hairline, you can throw a wig on too. Like, you can feel instantly beautiful. Like, I wear wigs all the time. Like, I love that because I still do drag as a trans woman. Like, I love just like getting really glammed up, and sometimes that's not called for in everyday life. So I think that there's just like, people have like a weird misconception of being trans and also like doing drag, and they're like, well, that does that make you like less of a drag queen? Does it just make you a woman like going out? And it's like, no.
Ask Sasha or Carrie Colby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, can I ask you a question? So this is kind of like a deeper thing, and feel free to not. I always wonder like how with the whole drag and trans thing, like the only thing that makes it so I kind of have a hard time with drag is because the right wing, people see that and they immediately then associate everybody who dresses like they see, you know, the you know, over the top glam and everything, and then they see me dressing the way I do and they're like, oh well, this person, like, especially when it's a cis guy who's just dressing up just to do it, and then they're like, well look, he took it off and is now a he him, why can't you take it off and be a he him again? And it's like,
yeah, I mean
I don't know.
Listen, I feel like for in the drag community, and this might be, I don't know, this might be a hot take, but it's my take, so I'm going to take it, baby. I feel like it's very interesting when a cisgendered gay man's drag aesthetic is just the most beautiful, fishy woman possible. That's a little bit weird to me. It's a little bit suspect. It's kind of just like, it's the wanting to, because believe me, that's how I used drag back in the day. Like, it was just like, I'm secretly like infiltrating the ranks here. Like, I can just be a beautiful woman and like not take my drag off at the end of the day and like go do hookups and stuff like that. Exactly. Like, it's just like, it a lot of times will be the loudest voices will be like the cisgendered gay men whose drag aesthetic is just like pretty, 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 who have the biggest issues with the trans women doing drag. Cause they think that like our drag is a little bit lazy. Like, we try less because we have like boobs now and we don't have to like, we don't have to like do as much. Baby. But listen, I don't have to do as much as a boy trying to look as beautiful as me. Like, correct.
Yeah.
But that's also like, I put in work, like years of work for that. Like, so
they think you transitioned because you want to be better at drag.
But listen, that is not a new thing. Like, a lot of like drag queens from the like 90s and stuff like that. When you do drag as your career, a lot of these women just get the surgeries to make their drag so much better. Because they're in drag more often than they're out of drag.
It's like people blaming those people who have the blades, you know, because they lost their legs. And they're like, wow, they're so fast. It's like, they have one of the fucking legs.
Exactly.
It's not like they cut their legs off on purpose.
Exactly. Like, and it's like, he's not a superhuman. Compete with them still. Yeah, exactly.
I have a question X-Men. About drag. I always notice they flop a lot. They like throw themselves back and do like a weird split. Why do they do that? It looks like it hurts.
A death drop? Okay. There, I feel like RuPaul's Drag Race has kind of like hindered drag in so many ways because people see like one kind of drag on TV and they don't see other kinds. So then all these like girls who wouldn't normally be like dancing a certain way or trying to pull certain tricks, like feel like they have to keep up. So they're like, okay, I know I can teach myself how to do this, but it's just like, ooh, like it's the act of doing it that makes audiences excited. It's not the actual quality of it. You know what I mean? And for me, I'm like, I don't do those things anymore because like I've busted my knees open so many times throwing my body on the floor because I can't do a split. Like,
hell no.
Now, when I'm real drunk, sometimes I think I can. So yeah. I've injured myself a couple of times while being like, oh, baby, you better go earn that $30 in tip money. You better go earn that cab fare home, bitch. Yes.
Okay, I have another drag question. So I tuck as a trans woman, and I'll just wear like some high-waisted chonies, you know, that means underwear in Spanish. Oh, yeah. And after a while, my stomach starts to hurt. I get a little crampy. Like it's very uncomfortable. But drag queens,
how do you tuck?
You put
your balls inside.
Yeah, I put my balls inside, and I tuck the chorizo underneath, and then
I don't ever do that.
Tight. No, mm-mm. I'm doing it wrong.
No, you're doing it correctly. I just got big old balls that I'm like, I'm not trying to stuff those inside myself.
I do too. I noticed that most of my bulge is from my balls.
Correct. Yes, it's just how unfair. And like,
no longer though.
female underwear does not have a pouch big enough for ball space.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, like even tucking panties, like I have like tuck it ups and like all the other different kinds and stuff like that. It's just like, even still, baby, like the Kraken has been released and there's like no stopping her. Like, I love that when I perform sometimes, like I'll have friends that'll be like, Callie, bubblegum, you got some bubblegum happening. And that's when like you fall out of your underwear a little bit and it looks like you're
like that bubblegum.
Which is kind of just like, sometimes it's just like, yeah, but that's gonna get me an extra $20. So mind your business.
But that's what I was gonna ask, because drag queens, they wear like the smallest little things and they're so tightly tucked. Like, what's their trick?
Duct tape.
Well, spray adhesive and tape. So like you take your like a lot of like, you can get like the tan duct tape, or you can get like the clear, and then you put like three pieces like all next to each other, and then you spray that with spray adhesive. So like if you have any hair down there, it's gonna be gone. Like,
I was gonna say, so it's like hairspray for your dick.
It literally, yes. And like you have to use like an extra strength like like oil remover to get all of the glue off afterwards. So like it's not a sexy like process to tuck, and that's why I'm like, I've never once wanted to actually do that. Like, I don't want to put the balls inside because knowing my luck, they'll never come back out again. I'm like, I'll be the one case that they like disappeared inside myself. It'll be like a thousand ways to die. Yeah, they never dropped again. And then like they fall out my mouth.
Do you guys put? Do you? Oh wait, never mind. You guys can't do that anymore. I forgot. Yeah.
You're like, I've considered that. I've considered getting rid of just the balls, because it'd be like, oh my god, get some, like getting a haircut and then you just like get like the denseness taken out, just like that.
You know,
don't get rid of the whole thing, just a little bit.
Women's underwear doesn't hold everything in. It does now.
It does now.
I must have just had like, I think I had big old balls before because the skin is just still hanging. Like, it looks like I'm just carrying around like a thing of bologna with me. ma'am, are you trying to sneak in food? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Trying to make sandwiches.
Yeah.
When you snip the ornaments off and you just have the ween hanging, does it kind of look like just like an anteater down there?
No.
It honestly,
mine's like atrophied a little bit, so it's just not even hanging out either.
Well, that was like what I was really concerned about.
Yeah, we will.
I was worried it was going to look weird. And then like, they told me I could take medical tape off like the day of, and I kept it on for 3 days because I was terrified of looking down there. And I looked down and I was like, oh, it looks the same. So.
I get that. Yeah. Be like, let me just keep this on here. A little bit of extra.
Did your
luck.
Voices get higher pitched at all?
I wish.
Yeah. It's not like the movies where it's like Game of Thrones where the guy gets turned into a eunuch and all of a sudden he's like, oh my God.
Vocal cords don't work that way. Yeah. They do have surgery for that though. And if I'm going to do any other surgeries, it's that one.
I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to get an orchy, but I just want to get one ball removed. That way I'm very symmetrical.
Like Lance Armstrong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could just be saying live strong the rest of your life.
You would be a really great
person. Make you a little bit more aerodynamic too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Less drag.
I just want to shave off a few seconds from my mile run. That's all I want. That one ball is holding me back.
Damn it, Lefty. Damn it.
Lefty. I'm
always kind of curving. I don't know if this is the right time to ask. What is Jake like? Does he seem like he's a really
Jake Daniels?
Nice, yeah, he seems like he's a really nice guy.
Fantastic guy, super sweet guy. I, you know, when I got into like this industry, it's kind of a mind fuck for me because when I was 14, 15 and like, you know, jerking off to like gay porn and stuff like that, a lot of these like people are people I'm working with now, which is wild to me because it's just like, it still boggles me when somebody that I'm like, oh my God, they're so hot. And then they follow me and reach out to me first. Like I'm just like, it never gets old. And that was the case with Jake. Like he hit me up. I said, this is a fake. I said, this is somebody's trying to catfish me. There's no way that he is hitting me up. And he's like, literally, if you come to Atlanta, I'll put you up. Like we'll make like, we'll work together for a couple days. Like we'll hang out. Like it'll be a really cool time. And he's such a gentleman, such a sweet guy. Like this industry is, he has a beautiful wife. She's a doctor. Like crazy, crazy shit. Like people have really great lives outside of the industry. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh my
God.
His reels cracked me up. Like, yo, bro, I'll pay you some money to take your shirt off and then I'll give you the rest of this to come upstairs.
I think like the stuff is cringy and cringy, but that's like what people want to see now. It's wild. Like the only stuff that gets likes on TikTok are the stuff where it's just like, God, you would be awful to be around. But that's the only thing that gets interaction.
Right.
It sucks that we have to like, we sell out so much. Sometimes it's kind of fun because it's just like, oh, people are going to love this. This is so stupid. But other times it's just like, man, I gotta look away when some of my fellow content creators post things. I'm just like, I can't even give that a like. I can't. I said, oh, I can't do that.
Do you actually in that regard, like, you know, the kind of the selling out thing, do you get a lot of flack from like trans women who are like upset that you're doing what you do?
No. Oh my gosh, no. I mean, I feel like more often than not, I have people who are like, how did you get into it? I would also like to get into it.
I fully support you.
I it's one of those things to where like, it's so much fun. Like I'm an exhibitionist. Like at the end of the day, I fell into porn accidentally. Like, well, yeah, somebody reached out to me and I never thought I would ever do a studio shoot. I used a fake name and everything. And once I did it the first time and I was like, actually, that was kind of fun.
What was your fake name?
My name was Riley Wilson, which I hate that. To this day, I'm just like, why did I do that? Like... So, like, I'll see that scene released still, but people, like, changed my name on it when it gets posted, and I'm just like, good for them. Good looking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's such an empowering thing. It's been difficult with all of the other aspects of my life. Like, once you start doing adult work, your personal life is completely different. Like, after that, like, it's been hard, like, dating, because people will either take you completely not serious whatsoever because they assume that you're not going to take them serious, or they're just not going to be able to handle sharing you with other people, even though sex is just a physical thing at the end of the day. And I'm demisexual, so I need a connection with people.
Oh, me too.
Like, I have to know you as a person to have intercourse. And porn has actually made me manifest, like, relationships with people in an organic way. But it's like, I don't have to date you to have sex with you. Like, it's like, kind of just become like homies. Like, it's nice to have like these friends that like you see sometimes regularly, and you get to know each other's bodies really well. And it's just like, you can easily have sex with them, even though it's on camera. Like, it's great.
Another day at the job.
I have a question.
Exactly.
What is your personal love life like? Like, do you still enjoy a romantic night, or are you so like used to the stuff that you do performing, you like that more?
I mean, so it's kind of like, it's a meet in the middle kind of thing. Cause me doing porn and like knowing that people enjoy my work and like watch my work makes me feel good. So I feel like sexually empowered and horny when I feel like I'm not being objectified, but like that my body is appreciated. So my, like, I started seeing somebody recently, and he has, I mean, yesterday we had sex twice. The day before it was like twice. I have a very high sex drive. So like, porn hasn't changed that. It's actually like made me more like okay with being horny.
You're just better at it.
I've been better at it. Yeah. Like,
more what I meant was like, can you make love?
Or oh, totally.
Is it all totally just fucking now? Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, there's definitely like, there's still romance. Like, I'm a romantic at the end of the day. And
nice.
Doing film is kind of just like acting in a movie. So I am like hot, like high character, like ridiculousness. So, and like at home, I can just be more organic.
Yeah. Actually, that was a question I had, is like, so when you're doing a scene with somebody, do you like, you go for a little bit, like, you know, a couple minutes, and then they say cut, and you just stop, and you just like change to the couch or like to the kitchen?
Well, like, sometimes you don't get a comfortable position, like a couch. Like, I've had sex on like dining room tables, marble countertops, a doctor's table, which was not fun whatsoever. So like, a actual public restroom, the floor of a public restroom. And I was like, gross. But you don't really like, okay, so it's sometimes, if it's a big production, it's a long day. It's like a 9-hour day. And you start with like paperwork and like all this like boring stuff first. And then you do like hair and makeup, you get ready. And then they set you up, like you're in your outfit, they take your pictures first. And then like the pictures, you slowly like get out of your clothes, they're still taking pictures. And then it's like, cut, put your clothes back on, let's do all this on camera. So then you do it on camera, and then they stop. And then you like, kind of like get undressed again. You do more pictures once there's like intercourse involved. And then you get dressed again. You do it all on camera, and it's kind of just like start, stop, like.
When you're in the middle of like of intercourse and like, and they want to take a picture, do they say, okay, freeze? And you just have to like stop.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. Like, they usually like, they'll usually like, it'll be like pictures, then they're done with pictures, then you do video. So like, most of the time when you see a picture of like sex, it's like a staged picture. Like it's just like you were set up in that moment. Like sometimes like you're taking your pictures before you've even actually like started having sex. So it's just like, okay, like, wow, like just get inside of her for this picture. And it's like, all righty.
Does not seem like she's been riding a dick for 5 minutes. Her hair is perfect.
Exactly.
So when you're in the middle of a scene or like a shoot or something like that, and then they yell cut, are you like still in it? Or are you guys like, so did you catch the game last night?
Sometimes one, it depends on who you're with. Like there have been times that I've had like really good chemistry with like co-stars, and it's just like in the interim times we just can't keep our hands off of each other. And then there are other times where it's just like, where it's just like, yeah, so what's going on? Like like there's not really a fluffer on porn sets. Like that's not a real job. Like there's not somebody who's like there to get thing. You hard, you know what I mean? Like if you have a co-star that you really hit it off with, that it's just like, then that person can like help you in like the meantime. But sometimes it's hard, like when you're on a set for so long. Like I feel bad for the people who
supposed to be hard,
who top. Yeah, exactly. Like they gotta be hard all the time and at like a moment's notice. Like me, I'm just like, I can be like, okay, like we're ready to go, let's go. But it's crazy. It's funny.
Have you ever
it's a
developed
funny dynamic.
Feelings for somebody that you acted with?
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it's cute.
I've almost dated somebody that I've acted with, but I mean, guys in the industry are players. They can't commit. And they don't want to be honest ever, which is crazy because it's just like, I feel like me at the point that I'm at in my life, like I'm so honest about everything I want and that I need, that it's just like, I'd rather lose somebody right away for how I am as a person than like have them pretend to be into me for like 2 months and then just like disappear on me because they don't gel, you know, like you're gonna get the person that I am regardless. And like a lot of these guys just their eyes get swayed a lot because there's a lot of beautiful girls in the industry and you can't like, I don't take it personally, and that's why I'm like, I don't really date the boys. I don't really date the boys in the industry. Like they like this are not serious. They're not
how
serious
your current relationship, how'd y'all meet?
Grindr.
It's very
listen, like I had a Grindr for the longest time because it's good for like getting people to follow you on X and your Instagram and stuff. Like as a business decision, it's amazing. Like there are people who are on Grindr to just find trans girls from like 1500 miles away. So it's like those people I'm never gonna meet. I'm never gonna talk to them. So like if my stuff is linked in my profile, they'll probably click it and they'll probably like follow or subscribe because they wanted to see more of what they were interested in. And then I kind of avoid it because I don't have to say anything. It's Grindr.
Yeah.
But I'm banned currently because they got me for catfishing.
Oh, okay.
Grindr, that's the app where you find the Grindr's the app where you find the local coffee shops, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Hondo page.
I'm gonna try that one out then.
Coffee grinders in your area. Yeah. Grinder.
I have a porn question, and you don't.
I have so many. I have like two index cards of porn questions.
This may be a very poor question to ask, but is there any talent out there that's kind of like you won't work with them because they're bad news bears?
Yeah, good question.
Okay.
Definitely. I have made, I would say, not really mistakes, but I've worked with people in my career so far that I've never released the content because I didn't like how the interaction went. Mm-hmm. I didn't like how things like fell afterwards. There is a content creator here in Vegas who, kind of aggressive with the girls, and I didn't going in, I wanted to give him like a chance because I've had other content creators who are like, he's a really nice guy, just give him a chance, like I know he comes off really strong but he's sweet, just give him a chance. And I filmed with this guy, I didn't really like filming with him, the content was not good and I wasn't going to release it. And I kind of like made my mind up. And then on Christmas, he posted a picture on Instagram wearing a sweater with Jeffrey Dahmer on it. And it said, "I eat trans like you for breakfast." And for me, listen, I'm from the Midwest. I'm like, I'm a little bit, I understand humor. Listen, you can make any joke, whether it be blue, it can be offensive, but if that joke is funny, people will not be offended. If the joke is not funny and does not land, it's offensive. And that's all there is to it. And I was offended, and I know I was not the only person offended. And so for me, like, I reached out to this person and kind of got into an argument with them about how their entire demographic of people who watch their videos are white supremacists, like bigot, like right-wing assholes who are in the closet about liking trans girls. And so he's like, so I make content for those people. And for me, that is, that it grosses me out, because you want me as a trans woman to feel comfortable enough to go to your home and like be physically intimate with you. Like, I'm in a very vulnerable position. And this is just like something that you are joking about. Like, how do you feel about this? Like, I already know you're kind of aggressive, so it doesn't paint you in a good light. And I'm trying to tell you, like, as a trans girl, to not piss off other trans girls, that this is not a good look. And it was just like an absolute, he could not believe. And he was like, he said, it's like anti-hate what he's doing. And I'm just like perpetuating like why people won't accept like trans girls into the fold as mainstream. Like, it was a wild conversation. It was on Christmas Day, and it was like really irritated me. It like irked my soul. So this is just a person that I would never work with. I'm not going to name him. I don't really care. Like, people will literally know who it is. Like, they'll be like, "Oh my god, I saw that same fucking picture."
Well, if you want to name him, we could bleep it out.
What's his Twitter handle? Well, his name is Evan. Evan Matucci. Oh,
don't worry. I'll bleep it in production.
Sorry.
Bleep.
Hang on. Let me put a mark. Okay, I just want to put a marker there.
Okay. It's just like that's just a weird, creepy thing. And to not get that, why that would make somebody feel offended or like feel at ease, just is like, well, then to me, you shouldn't get the privilege to work with trans women. Like, you're not going to take advantage of me for you to afford your Louis Vuitton bags. He's got no taste. Yes, this is a cis bodybuilder man.
That's kind of what gets me, is like, I, you know, because I've told people like on my Bumble and on my Tinder, like, I was like, I'm a trans woman, but I'm open, I'm easygoing, and like, you know, not easy to offend. And they see that and they immediately think that I'm like, cool, okay, I can just use you as like a punching bag for all the things I wanted to say that like I'd get canceled for. And so they're like, My name conveniently rhymes with tranny, and so I get called Danny the Tranny all the time. And I'm like, "That's, you can't say that. I can say it. You can't say it. It's our word.
You can't say it, diva. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This white guy, you can't say that."
I would like whip back and be like, "Excuse me, sis.
Yeah.
How very dare.
Sorry, breeder. Why don't you go?"
How dare you?
Another question. Okay. Question. If someone wanted to get into the adult industry, like professional shoots and stuff, what's the audition process like, or qualifications, or how does one get in?
So the porn industry is always looking for people. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things to where like there's always stuff being made. It's very easy, like, to start on OnlyFans and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of the easiest way in, to just like be on X and like be on OnlyFans And then, like, from there, it's kind of easy to start just, like, ranking up almost. Like, I sometimes, like, shoot for people that are maybe above, like, my league even. And sometimes they answer. So it's just, like, they help, like, immensely. Like, working with Jake Daniels did so much for me. Like, the amount of muscular gorillas who now DM me that are just like, you like jacked men?
Yes! wait. Like, what is the guy? Devin
Strong.
Yeah, he started following me.
Such a sweetie. Such a sweetie.
Go ahead.
Get involved. Honestly, like, you can. And same thing with getting into studios. Like, there's some websites. Like, the first site that I started seriously working with was Groovy Girls, and I submitted to their website. They have a portion in just like their website, and on, I think even on their Twitter, like in their link, it's like submit like an application. And I think when I submitted my application, they hit me up the next day.
I tried to send it and it was down.
Well, I mean, like, it's really easy to like message producers and directors because they're the ones who make the stuff, so they just have to like see that you're serious and that you like actually want to, because there are people every single day that come into porn that do one thing and then they're like, not for me, gotta go. So like, it's a revolving door of people who are like, some people were in it for the wrong reasons, like they didn't like how it made them feel, like any number of things make people leave the porn industry. I had started in 2021 and I got nominated for an AVN, like I was doing a lot of work, and I started dating somebody who was like, listen, you need to choose porn or me. And I very stupidly chose him. And I stopped making content and filming for a year and a half. And once I decided that it was like, this is a really abusive relationship, I need to have him leave. Like, I really want to be back in that industry. I wonder if I could reach back out and see if they would want to have me back again. And I reached back out to Groovy and they were so excited to hear from me. They were like, oh, please. They were like, when can you come? My God, we've been waiting for you to like hit us back. So like, it's just one of those things to where like, if you just like what you do, like the work will come. And honestly, awesome.
Cool.
And there's a market for literally everybody.
Like, you're saying the word come a lot and my brain is going all over the place.
It's a compilation.
I have a follow-up question to my previous question. So once somebody is in the industry, how do you make an income? Like, is it per shoot? Do you get residuals? Is it per play, like on a website? Are there bonuses for how many times you shoot your load per shoot?
Ooh, I mean, these are all good questions. I feel like, so a lot of times it depends on the company. It depends on the, it depends on like their budget and stuff like that. So the most I've been paid for a shoot was $2,000. The least I've been paid was $200.
They're all like 9 hour shoots?
No. Sometimes a shoot can be 45 minutes. Like, if you just, like, go in, like, we're talking, so I work with Trans Angels more recently, and those shoots are very long days because there's story, there's setup, there's, like, a lot of crew that goes into it. Like, you have at least three different lighting people, you have a hair and makeup person, you have the director, you have, like, a secondary director. Like, there's a full myriad of people that are there to, like, make the production happen, and, like, sometimes that takes a long time. They got to break for lunch. They got to like change the lights. They got to do all this stuff. So like on those days, that's when I would make $2,000. And then the days that are like super easy, like collabs for OnlyFans, I don't necessarily get paid for that technically. Like upfront, I'm just making this and hope that it sells on the backside, which this stuff does. Like I have a great fan base that buys my work. Like, I just like making the studio porn because it's like you show up, you're a little doll, You get to have like a fun little day. Then they give you a paycheck and you just like send you on your way. And that's really fun. And then I don't have to edit the videos and I don't have to do any of the marketing and I don't have to do any of that stuff because editing. That is my literal nightmare. Like, that's what I hate about OnlyFans.
You get $2,000 just to be the talent in one day?
That's not yeah. Bad. It's not bad at all. Like, granted, you have to pay taxes and shit on that. Like, that's not all stuff that, like, you gotta do your I-9s and stuff. Mm-hmm. And depending on what state you're in, like, sometimes you make less than, like, you think you will. But yeah, for me, I just like doing it. Yeah, exactly. Independent. And I don't have an agent, so I just do everything myself. So I don't have to worry about paying anybody out for those kinds of things. But yeah, like, as you don't get residuals, you don't, you could put that into a contract. For me, I don't have that luxury yet. I don't get like money per play on a website. Like, you can, I'm just a lot less harder of a hustler than a lot of the great online content creators. Like, the people who have a ManyVids and all of their stuff is on Pornhub and all their stuff is on, like, those people are constantly making money from those things, like residuals from Pornhub and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm so lazy when it comes to that I'm like, I got an OnlyFans and I post to it. You come, you pay for it, you do whatever. Same. I don't care.
I would not, yeah. If you need a manager, let me know.
Yeah. And Callie, I would not say you are lazy at all. Like, I think what you're doing is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, like I get, like, I am a Taurus, so I'm the first person to admit when I'm like, I'm uncomfortable right now. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do something. Like, so it's so hard to motivate myself to put on lingerie and like jerk off on camera sometimes when I would rather be like laying around watching Drag Race. Like, I like just smoking weed and eating a lot of snacks and not having to like worry about like answering OnlyFans messages. Like, I would much rather be doing that, but you got to put the work in to make the money too. So yeah, that's the place where I'm at. Right.
Well,
yeah. Well, I hear you. On that note, is it time for a Meek a Minute?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Oh.
Meek a Minute.
I like that. I like that musical interlude.
It's time again. It's time for Mika's Minute. Hello, Callie.
Hi, Mika. Losing my voice.
Okay, so what I do here is I like to ask our guests some random questions that have nothing to do with being trans, because I think that gets a little stale after a while. So, but these are all random, kind of goofy, dorky questions, and let's just get right into it. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. First one. Another porn question.
Unrelated.
What is the perfect or ideal penis size when receiving anal?
Oh my God. Okay. This answer has changed for me. 8 inches.
Whoa.
That's impressive. Around.
Okay. no, lengthwise, I would say. Oh my God. At this point, I've had every size of like huge to just medium or average. I would say
the
on camera, no, not really. But in real life, yeah, definitely. Yeah, no. I mean, like, if that's the thing, but I would say 7.5, 8 inches.
Solid.
Ideal. Solid.
Okay, next question. Could the you before transition pull the you now?
Yeah, because I like gay boys sometimes. I like them really effeminate. Like, I like I pull them because, like, doing drag, like, a lot of times, like, my, like, drag queen, like, friends will be like, Callie, you're just so sexy. Like, what the fuck? Like, you're just like, I would fuck you. And it's like, okay, well, then put your money where your mouth is, bitch. So, I would probably, I mean, it would be difficult because we'd be like, who fun about them? But honestly, I'd top my self pre-transition, honestly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Okay, next question. Who is the most famous person you can name drop right now that if you call them, they would probably answer?
Oh, Oh, fuck. They would answer?
Eventually.
Oh my God. Eventually.
Okay,
Okay,
most
that's a
famous
fair.
person in your phone contacts.
Okay. So somebody who, okay, well, I can't expose nobody. I'll just say Jade Jolie.
Okay.
That's easy.
Fair
I
enough.
could call her. She'd pick up on the first ring.
Okay.
Ladies,
Not
today I
sad.
actually have a bonus question. You ready for this
Oh,
one?
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Callie, of the three of us hosts, who would you top? Who would you bottom for? And who would you pee on?
Well, I mean, you're also peeable. Let's
I
say,
agree.
honestly, though, that's not. I mean,
This is like fuck, murder, marry.
yeah, I know, but like that's
Top bottom P,
but
exactly.
way
top bottom
better.
P. Okay, so I
Or top bottom
would.
switch. No.
Okay, so but honestly, I could do any for all of them. Is that a that's an answer, right?
No.
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 Oh.
Okay, fine.
That's a
Okay,
cop
so
out.
how very dare you? Okay, top Mika, bottom for Danny, and then Brie, just by because of elimination, I'd have to pee all over you. I'm so sorry.
Damn it, Brie, you always get the fun ones.
Have to pee everywhere.
Is that because my name rhymes with it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Pianery?
that was the answer.
Yeah. Cool. I'm getting
Wait, Brie,
perfect
my name
points.
rhymes with your name, though, so. By the
That seems like a
power of
long, that seems longer
man,
than a
no one
minute.
ever wants to pee on me. What the heck?
Damn
Do you want to be peed on?
it.
Listen, if you would have told me that you wanted to be
Yeah.
peed on, this could have made this game a lot easier.
I mean, it depends on the day.
Listen, what, it depends on the day and what your diet was that day. Because
Oh,
if you had
God.
asparagus,
Oh,
I'm
true.
not down
Yeah,
for
asparagus on a Wednesday? No.
So, okay, so we like to, I do like to ask like a little bit of kind of sappier question. We have a bunch of new trans people that watch these. And so do you have any advice for anybody who's like just getting into like who wants to kind of get to where you are? Like what speed bumps can you help them avoid or
Yeah.
roadblocks?
I mean, I think that there is such a stigma around having work done in the trans like community, and that if you don't have any work done whatsoever, you're less of a trans woman and less of a woman. And I've gotten that a lot, especially like in the porn industry. Like it is sometimes hard to not compare myself to the other beautiful women that I'm surrounded by, who have, in my opinion, just like so much more like to offer, like body wise and stuff like that. And they're so gorgeous. And I took me a long time to be like, yeah, but sometimes people don't necessarily see the beauty in women who have surgery. So that there are people who do find natural women beautiful too. So it's not about how you do the journey. It's not about what road you decide to go down. It just has to make you happy at the end of the day. You shouldn't be doing your transition for anybody else, for the approval of other people whatsoever. It's just to look in the mirror and find the happiness within yourself and however you get to that place. Like whether that be through hormone replacement therapy or just like, my God, please get a therapist to start talking to somebody about like the feelings that you feel like you can't say to anybody else. 'Cause that shit really helped me. I was going through an abusive relationship and what didn't have my family to talk to, and it was hard to open up because I'm a really, for as open-booked of a person as I am, it's hard for me to express what I really truly feel. And therapy really helped with that too. So it broke down a lot of like the mental blocks that I had with my own self-esteem and made it easier to be like a more open-minded trans woman, because sometimes it's hard to not feel, what's the word? like angry that you weren't born in the body that you think you should have been born in, and that there are like people who have like an advantage of being like a cisgendered woman that like makes them more female and it doesn't. And it's just about finding your idea of femininity and just knowing that that's the woman in you. I don't know. Oh my God.
That was well said.
Don't ask me to write a book.
I mean, I just want to like also dovetail on that and like say, like, if you're there, I mean, yeah, find a therapist, but find a good therapist. Cause my first one, when I first came out, was like, she let me get on HRT, but basically convinced me that like I was doing it late in life. And this was 5 years before I actually even did it. And she was like, basically made me essentially seeded all these things that caused me to stop. So find a therapist, find a good therapist.
A good therapist. Yeah.
And don't you'll be afraid be to like, fire your therapist.
It'll be obvious sometimes too, when it's like, I don't feel comfortable talking to you. Cause I've had therapists where I was like, my God, I can't wait to never talk to you again, friend. Yeah. Like, it was just like, who let you out of your cage to come help the people? Like, how dare you?
They want to push their agenda, and it's like,
exactly.
So, y'all want to do final thoughts and then go into after hours?
Well, there's two more questions.
There's two more questions. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. There's two more questions. And
what am I doing?
Actually, one's a new one. We'll do the standard one first.
Okay.
You had to say, what is your transition theme song?
Disco Tits by Tove Lo.
Yes.
I don't, it was something about it that when everything was shut down with COVID and we were doing drag online, there's a show in Chicago that was called Moans that was all trans showcase. And we did an online show, but I did that number as like a cam girl online. And it was like, it kind of like, I've just kind of like went hands off the wheel and was just like in the moment. And it's a song that just like really resonates with me. Tove Lo is like that for me, though. I love Tove Lo. No One Dies From Love. Oh my God.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh my God.
Love it.
Icon. What would y'all be? Is that a question that is that asked?
Yeah.
All the
time. We ask everybody. Yeah, that's our standard.
That's such a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Thanks. I was just sitting there thinking about like what somebody had played a song, and I was like, this is kind of my like my pump up song. I was like, this is my transition theme song. And then it turns out everybody has one. So
hell yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's a great question too.
So mine is Super Bloom by Mr. Wives. It's like,
okay, it's like,
I didn't think I was gonna make it. Well, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but like, I made it through.
Yeah,
so
I made it through, baby. Not unscathed, but
mine is Blonde by Glades. It's kind of they just say fuck it, die it all blonde.
Mine is Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Come on, Steven Tyler.
Okay, we have a new question. Since we are evolving as a podcast, we're going to drop a new question here for
like Pokemon.
Yes. If you were going to call anyone out to be on this show, who would you pick?
Let's see. I mean, I would love to see one of my really good friends from the porn industry. So I would definitely say like a Daisy Taylor, or I'd like to see Amanda Riley. But those are just like
either
amazing. Daisy Taylor is one of the nicest people I have ever in my life had the pleasure of meeting. Like I have not made like the porn industry is like kind of like you meet a lot of people, but it's hard to like make like friendships, I would say. Like it's really easy to like make connections, but as far as like friendships, like I have not had like people ride for me as hard as Daisy Taylor and Amanda Riley. They are two of the sweetest women. So like, shout out to them.
That's awesome.
Shout out to them, because they literally like encourage growth with other entertainers. And it's like, they want to see other girls succeed and not just like get ahead of them. And that's a huge issue in the industry, that it's just like, girls don't want to see other girls succeed sometimes. They want gigs for themselves, but they don't want their friends to like be able on the ride with them.
Which is like, it's like the difference between like jealousy and envy, right? It's
totally. Like, totally.
Like envy is, I wish I had what you had, but jealousy is like, I wish I had it and you didn't, right?
Or something like yeah, that, or... exactly. And it's like, there's so much work in the industry that it's like, if you're hopeful that I don't work, then that's like, that's just telling of your character. Like,
get out of here, ding dong.
Please, get out of here. Get out of here.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking here.
Callie, I am potentially in the next couple of weeks moving to New York. So if you ever need to go up and have another experience at Times Square, maybe we won't go through the Lion King. We will see Cats.
Maybe I'll steal the mic back off somebody.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, this is the Danny hits on the guest music. Might as well earn it. Callie, you're hot.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Oh, I'm in good company.
Well, do y'all want to do final thoughts?
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll say, Callie, I think you're super awesome, super sweet, super talented. It's not often I get to see someone's penis before we interview them. That's pretty cool. And if you're ever in SoCal, I would love to take you to a Sunday Mass with me someday. So yeah,
I love that. Let's do it.
Pray at the church.
Let's do it. Yeah. I don't have as much luck. I'm in North Carolina. Stay far away.
Listen, I never thought I was going to find myself in Atlanta, Georgia. So I think that there's a good chance that I can find myself in any city in the United States. So
cool. RDU.
Or outside the United States too. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come to Vegas. Shit. It's fun out here.
I will be. I've got to go visit my new nephew.
I was like,
if you ever hold auditions for a new video.
Yeah, exactly.
Bri, you want to go?
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. You're fabulous. You're beautiful.
Thank you for having me.
And your work is amazing. And we would probably like to have you back at some point.
I will be back. Thank you
tomorrow.
For having me.
Tomorrow.
I'm back.
I'll be in Vegas.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, Callie, it's great to like, you know, finally get to meet you and just hear your story and everything. It's you know, everybody sees one side of on the internet. You see that one dimension, but see how deep you go is amazing. And you're a truly beautiful person.
Thank you. Oh my God, I've had the best time. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. Well, awesome. Well, so for those who are not part of the Patreon subscribers, this is where we're going to leave you, unfortunately. But if you are a Patreon subscriber, stay tuned for After Hours, because it's going to get spicy up in here. If you thought the regular hours was spicy, just
up
wait.
In here. Yeah.
So for Girl Dad Girls, I am That QT Danny B. We have Bri St. Marie, Michaelaville, and Callie Grace. Thank you so much. Actually, Callie, real quick, how do people find you on the internet? On Instagram or websites?
You can find me on IG and X at the same handle. Same with my OnlyFans, and that is the THEE Callie Grace. All one word. Because I'm the I'm the one Callie Grace.
We're gonna put that nice big word across the
So screen. Yeah. But follow, subscribe. Do all that good stuff.
Yeah. Like, follow, and subscribe. So,
there you go.
Anyways, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll see everybody in the after hours. Bye.
Yes.
This has been a production of Girl Dad Girls Podcast. Check out new episodes every Thursday. If you are interested in knowing more, please email info@girldadgirls.com or find us on Instagram @girldadgirls. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.